Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, and you truly are great. And Lord, we just look up to you and know that all things are sifted through your hands, and we just praise your name. And Lord, we're glad that you're our teacher. You're glad, God, you provide the word for us that we can learn and study and understand you. And so we thank you, God, for that. So continue to speak to us, Lord, and pray this morning and just anoint me that I speak words of spirit, nothing of myself, Lord, and each heart would be open to receive from your spirit. So we just give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look this morning, we're going to start off in Isaiah 48:10. It says, blessed refining fire. I'm into these paradoxes. We did blessed storms last time, you know, so we're doing blessed refining fires. I don't know what's next Sunday. Well, I can bless with that. But anyways, we're going to do blessed refining fires. Hey, Jim. How you doing? I'm doing well. I haven't seen Jim, hadn't been here in a couple of years.
Give or take.
So he's been on England, right?
Germany.
Okay, is close. It's good to see you. All right, so good to see you, Jim. So what we want to look at this morning and say, blessed refining fire. So we're going to look at Isaiah 48:10, and see how these refining fires can be blessed, okay? It says in Isaiah 48:10, see, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Now, the thing of it is, we look at these verses like this, and we see that God is very active in our lives. You know, some of us say, gosh, I just wonder what God's doing. Well, I promise you, he's doing something. Okay, we may not know it, you know, like that, but are paying attention to it, but he's doing something. And so God is very active in our lives, and he's very deliberate for believers. He's very deliberate about refining us for his purposes. And where fire is used to refine silver by removing the dross around it, God uses afflictions, okay, if you will, to refine his people, to refine his people. So that's what this is saying. So he's given us this picture of silver is refined, and he's saying, well, you like silver, and we understand that. He's, well, I'm also refining you. So he's busy refining us. So he's active in our lives. Now, God is very interested in our behavior, okay? Now, when I say in our behavior, I don't mean just, you know, like just going through the motions. He's interested in transforming us from within and therefore transforming our behavior. So he's interested in transforming our behavior. And in the next verse, he kind of tells us why. One reason he wants to do this. And if you look at Isaiah, the next verse, Isaiah 48:11, he says this. And this is kind of fascinating. He says, I'm going to refine you just like silver in a furnace of affliction. And he says this. He goes, for my own sake. And he says it again. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Now, what's interesting about that is that, you know, we may not think about it much, but God's people represent him. All right? That's a truth, that we represent God. And so God doesn't want us to represent him falsely. So he refines us. One of the reasons he's refining us, changing us within, so that we can represent him in a proper way. Not, oh, just trying to be good and all that. No, we represent him in a proper way. And what happens is that he gets the glory, and people look to him when they see how God has worked through us. Okay, how's that for pressure? Okay, how's that? He goes, well, you know, says, you're going to see who I am, of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're going to see my people. Now it's that, and you see that all through Scripture. And so it's kind of fascinating. So you see this, for my own sake, I'm refining you. You know, it's like, God, why? He says, for my sake. Now, so you think about this, that he doesn't want us, he doesn't want us giving glory to something else. You know, or taking the glory to ourselves. How'd you accomplish that? You know, so I'm just good. You know, I mean, I'm just good. You know, you come here and I'll teach you how to do this because I'm good. You know, God goes, nah, maybe we need to work something out where you don't come out so good. You know, maybe we need to go through a little refining fire, you know, affliction to understand that I am behind this. You know, I created you. If the abilities you have were I've given you. And so he refines us, you know. Are we follow something? This is the perfect person we're following. This is the perfect government we're going, you know, and it doesn't turn out perfect. Well, there's a truth behind that, but did we ever think, no, God is busy making that happen because he doesn't want us to build this some perfection up that we follow because he's the only one perfect and he's the one we are to follow, and then we work within the system he's given us. That makes sense? So how he does that, he refines us. And so he's busy in that. And again, why is he refining us? For his sake. I'm doing this for me. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Maybe I should pay attention a little bit to what's going on around me. So we see this also, again in the Old Testament prophecy where he talks about refining again, that he is doing something, he's refining us. Again, we think of silver. Yeah, nice, beautiful silver. We get all the junk, you know, and then you have that silver, and that's what he wants, that refined silver. But here's a prophecy in Zechariah where he talks about refining his people. Now, in this prophecy, and we won't go into the details of the prophecy, he's dealing with this group of people, and he's kind of upset with them. And so 2/3 of them, he just harshly deals with them. You know, I think the word is perish. Okay, I mean, it's like, no, I'm just done. Okay, you're not working with me at all. So he the 2/3 of them, he says, you're done, perish. But the 1/3, he's, oh, I got the 1/3. And then the 1/3, he says, he refines. So we don't perish, we get refined. So look at this, Zechariah 13:9. And I will put this 1/3, 2/3 he's dealt with. If you're wondering about the 2/3, you can look that up. They're gone, all right? So because they didn't make the cut, you know, they didn't trust in the Lord, so I'm not even going to fool with them. But the ones that are his, he says, and I'll put the ones that are mine, this 1/3, into the fire, and I'm going to refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. And then it says this. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, you are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Now, do you see what happened in the refining process? All this, you know, he said, his people, he says, what you're going to say, you're going to call to me on my name, and I'm going to answer you. And I'm refining you for my sake, by the way. But you're going to call me, and I'm going to answer you. And what you're going to say, I'm going to say, you're my people, and you're going to say, you're my God. Do you see what's happening? Okay, nothing's changed from Genesis to Revelation. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. You know, it drives me crazy, you know, something. Well, you know, God wants people to be good, you know, and it really irritates me because by saying that, you lose sight of everything, what God is doing. He wants you to say, you are my God, you know, and he says, you are my people. Now, by the way, if we do that, it's going to change our behavior, and he's interested in that behavior, and he's going to refine us. But it's calling out to the Lord is the main thing. See? And that's when Jesus came. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, and our sins are forgiven. Amen? We're forgiven. Absolutely. He took it all. He says, now I'm going to work with you. Now I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to refine you. Just like a piece of silver, you're just going to shine. See? But I have to work with you in the process, in this refining process. Sins are taken care of. So he's not taking sin away, right? No, he's refining us to represent him accordingly, all right? So he's interested in how we behave in the refining process. Y'all with me? You got the silver? I didn't get a lot of response from that. Are y'all with me? Yeah? Refining the silver, you know, God says, I'm going to refine you, you know, in a furnace of affliction, just like silver is refined. Okay? Now, based on that, it's blessed refining fire, right? Nobody's going, amen. But anyway, it really is. And so you think about it, we really shouldn't complain about it, but we should learn from it. Okay, God, what are you teaching me? You're taking away all the dross away so that I can be purely focusing on you. So what are you teaching me? I want to be part in this, what you're doing, and learn and draw closer to you. Amen? Okay, I got a few more amens out of that. I mean, y'all still hung up on the fire. I know. It's like, no, this isn't fun. Well, speaking of the fire, by the way, the fire's not fun. And the Bible even tells us it's not fun. So that's good. But you have you ever been like you're going through that you even perceive it's the refining fire? Like the affliction, the situation, you're going, this is tough. This is really hot. You know, God, this is hot. And I mean, this fire's been going on a long time. God, you know, I'm doing everything I know you're telling me. And just like, when are you going to turn this thing down? When are you going to turn the fire down? Anybody ever had that thought? Like, when are you going to let up? When are you going to turn the fire down? So if we have that connection, we say, when do you turn the fire down? Have you ever been there? I say, God, listen, I mean, I've listened to everything you said. Gosh, when are you going to turn this down? Okay. Well, I have this little story to tell you. About 35 years ago, I went on a business trip. And so I went to this church on this business trip. And it was really a well-known pastor, you know, deal. And so I thought, well, I'm here. I'll just go to this church and see what they have to say. And so I went to this church, and this guy shared, the pastor, associate pastor shared, and what he shared, and I'm on refining fire, okay, I didn't go off someplace, I'm still on refining fire. So this pastor got up and shared, and he said, and he shared from his heart of all these different difficulties that he'd been going through, just real heartfelt difficulties. And he said the Lord showed him and revealed to him that, you know, it really was a refining fire. It was a refining fire. And through this, and it was a long period of time, and the Lord was really faithful to show him things, you know, about himself, to show him things that he was teaching him. And he could see really how through this refining fire, the Lord had really burnt away some dross, and, you know, and he could learn from it. And so it was really, you know, beneficial. But the heat just kept up. It just hot. You know, the heat never let down. I said, Lord, I'm learning, but gosh, when are you going to turn the heat down? And so it was not too long after that, he went on a missions trip with some people, and he went to India. He went into India. And so he's walking through one of these villages in India and said there was a man over there, and he was refining silver like they did ages ago. They just still refined it the same way. And what they did, they had this fire going, you know, this big fire going, and they had this pot, this big pot, and they had all this silver ore in it. And this thing was cranked up, and it was really hot. And what they would do, this guy in this hut would do, is just kind of just this one man doing it. And so as he's refining this silver. And so he was watching him refine this silver, and this fire was hot. And the guy would go in, and if you don't know anything about refining silver, okay, the silver under the heat, you know, melts, okay, it melts, and the silver is heavier than the dross around it. So the silver sinks to the bottom of the pot, and the dross, therefore, comes to top. So as the dross comes to the top, and then the old man there refined the silver, and he scraped the dross off the top, and throw it away. And he'd keep the fire burning, you know, and the silver melts, and he'd continue to scrape the dross off the top. And so that pastor says, yeah, I'm going to go ask him, how he knows when to turn the flame down. You can see, he said he's getting the spiritual insight. I'm going to go and I'm going to figure out what God's doing. And so I'm going to ask this guy how he knows when to turn the flame down. And so he walked over to this man and he's scraping this dross off the top and leaving the silver and bomb. He's scraping it off. And he goes, how do you know when to turn the flame down? The man says, when I look over in the pot and see my reflection. Oh, I see. Isn't that something? What is God doing? The refining fires of God, what is he doing? When is he going to turn the fire down? When he can look over and see his reflection. That he's worried about how we represent him. So he puts us through refining fires so that ultimately the dross is scraped away and he just sees his reflection. Amen? Those are called blessed refining fires. Blessed refining fires. Now, so that gives you an idea, like, oh, what's God doing? I'm going through this terrible thing and God's not helping me. He just cranks it up a notch. He is helping you. You know, you ever complain it get hotter? You got some heavy dross coming here. You see what I'm saying? So there's why does he give us? It's a principle that we can understand, a principle that we can see and understand what's happening around us. Well, I came to know Jesus and everything should work out perfect, you know? Well, if you were perfect, maybe it would. But it's like, no, you need to be refined to reflect me, and you don't even understand all the dross around you. And so what you do, you go through these fires, and as you set your eyes upon the Lord, this dross is scraped away. And so, if you continue and persevere with your eyes on the Lord, he looks down and he starts seeing his reflection. And then he turned the fire down. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is working all the time. He's moving all the time. But he is busy working with us, and he is busy transforming us to represent him the way we should. Amen? That's a low amen. I mean, I don't know, blessed storms and blessed refining fires. I'm not getting a lot of amens. So they're kind of like, anyway. I'll take that. Now, by the way, we can ask, who will go through these refining fires? Okay, I mean, you know, you, in case you have a question, who? Well, we can look at Hebrews 12:6, and it kind of gives us a hint. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. Now, this is one verse I claim that it is absolute 100% proof that he loves me. I know he loves me, and this is the verse, the reason I turned to it. Why, you say, well, how you God knows you love? Turn to John 3:16. I go, no, I turn here to Hebrews 12:6. This is the one how I know he loves me. In fact, I don't know how he has time to pay any attention to any of you. It seems like I'm taking all of his time. All right? So, but anyway, he has the capacity to spread things out. But so anyway, this is I know I am loved. See, I'm happy about that. Y'all are still not happy. You're not into this blessed storms and blessed refining fires anymore. Well, here we go. But why the refining fires in the New Testament? And again, we see this whole purpose, what God is working with these refining fires. We go through things, and he teaches us. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:17-8. And put it in context of the refining fires. And he calls it this. For this light and no... momentary affliction What's light and momentary? The refining fires. It's hot in here. No, it's momentary. You know, kind of look in eternity. It's just a blink, you know. I'm thinking, man, I got a long blink in here. But anyway, so for this light momentary affliction is preparing us. It's not just for no reason coming upon us. It is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look to things that are, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. See, it's to the church because only the church has the capacity to see the unseen. See? I mean, the rest of everybody else is just getting dumped on. You know, I mean, that's it. There's no reason. But it's those who know Christ, they're able to see beyond the fire. They'll be able to walk through the fire. They'll be able to walk through and see God is teaching us things that we can't even imagine. He keeps turning that fire up, you know. And then we continue to learn things. So we see this. It's preparing us for an eternal weight of God. So it's for eternity. But outside the church, there's no comprehension. And inside the church, and not a lot of comprehension. Okay, it's like, no, I don't want any part of this fire. I don't. Maybe y'all don't say that. I've said it several times, and that's probably the reason I'm still in it. Need to keep cranking it up a notch, you know. Because I'm assured there's some silver in there. Maybe just a little bit, but it's there. Amen? Okay, so we have this thought, and it's like, wow, this is incredible. God is doing a work. God has a purpose, and God wants to see his reflection in us. That's what he is doing. You go, well, what about him? And don't feel bad when you go about, what about them? You know, because God's got his own deal. You know who did that? It's funny. Well, it's not funny, but in the Gospel of John, Jesus told Peter that he was going to have to suffer something. You know what Peter said? It's because the Apostle John was with him. And Jesus told, this is after Jesus resurrected, so Jesus told Peter how he's going to suffer. And Peter goes, what about him? He did, to John. I mean, go, come on, you're going to do something to John. You know, I mean, I think that's silly if I didn't do it so much. But see, you see what I'm saying? So it's like, no, I'm doing something with all of you. I'm doing something with all, and I am, and what all I want to do is, well, what do I got to do? He said, no, I just want to see my reflection. Amen? Then the to-do just follows after that. It's not a to-do. It's being transformed into his reflection. See? And then everything else just clears up and clears up. Now, I'm going to share this. I was hesitant to share this, but I knew I'd have about 10 minutes, and so I was going, no, that's not the reason I did it. But I'm going to share this. And I really was hesitant because it seems kind of harsh, so what I'm going to do is quote somebody else, and so you can, you know, look them up. But what the piece of it I'm going to share with us, and I think it's information we need to know in a loving way, is that as we understand this picture of a refining, I think each of us apply it to ourselves, that God is wanting us to call out to him, and he wants to look down and see his reflection in us. And we see that's what he's doing in life, no matter what the situation, because that's bringing him into the situation, and he can handle it. Amen? See? So he can handle it. But we get so wrapped up in the situation or the dross, we can't see God and can't imagine how he could handle it. So we're learning. But here's something else. We recognize it in our own lives, but how about when he's working with others? Now, you got to be careful here. Be careful, because you don't want to be the judgmental finger-pointing. You want to walk along, encourage people to walk with Christ. But it also helps to understand what God's doing with other people. Have you ever seen somebody that's just, gosh, they're just sweet and nice and love the Lord, and they're just going through one thing after another, you know? Now, based on what we just learned, what's God doing? He just wants to see his reflection. And he's taking them to a place maybe we couldn't even go. You see, I mean, if God's in this, if God is in this. And so you're watching, so you've got to be real careful when you see other people going through different things. You're kind of hanging around holy ground, you know, so you want to be careful. Now, so here's something that if you see someone and you're trying to encourage someone and you know that they're going through the refining fires, it doesn't help say, hey, you're going through the right refining fires. Be warmed and filled, buddy. You know, you don't do that, okay? Because, you know, then you're just part of the affliction, and that's not what God intended. But again, it's helpful to learn. You walk by someone, put your arm around them, and point them to Christ, and continue to point them to Christ. Amen? See, so you can encourage someone like that because you know it's holy ground and God's working with these people. Now, here's what Oswald Chambers, okay? If y'all don't have the devotion by Oswald Chambers, you ought to get it. I mean, it really is an excellent devotional, just really in depth. But here's what he says about this. So I'm quoting him. This is what he says. Oswald Chambers, he gives us some insight how to cooperate with God and help others who are going through this refining fire. He said, when you see a person who is close to grasping the claims of Jesus Christ, you know that your influence has been used in the right direction. So what happens is you see a person and you've had a chance to talk to them and they're reaching for Christ. You go, that's good, because they're looking to the Lord. You go, that's good. You know your influence has been good, okay? And when you begin to see that person in the middle of a difficult and painful struggle, ready? Don't try to prevent it, but pray that his difficulty will grow even 10 times stronger until no power on earth or in hell could hold him away from Jesus Christ. Don't try to be an amateur God in someone's life. We are indeed amateurs coming in and actually preventing God's will and saying, this person should not have to experience this difficulty. You ever had that thought? This person shouldn't have to experience it. It's too much. He says, never do that and come in and say that this person should experience this difficulty. Instead of helping them, our sympathy gets in the way. When we get in the way of God's work, one day that person will say to us, you are a thief. You stole my desire to follow Jesus. And because of you, I lost sight of him. Now think about that. Now, this is what he's saying is don't interfere with someone else's refining fire, but let it burn away the dross in that person until God sees his reflection. Okay? So you see what I'm saying? It's holy ground. Now, here's the problem. We have a hard time comprehending this, all right? You know why? Because we are blind to the hand of God at work in people's lives. It's a spiritual thing. We're unable to see God move. First of all, he's saying, see God work in your own lives. Okay, we're moaning and complaining and everything, you know, because we can't see God when he's working in our own lives. So they recognize he's working. Okay, God, teach me, you know, like that pastor said, you know, and then we're like, I just want to see my reflection. You go, maybe you're not there yet, but okay, teach me, see. That's one, so we learn that, which, you know, I'm thinking, is that a well-known understanding within the church? But then this next step, we have to see the hand of God to believe that. But the next step, when we see it happening to others, we have to be able to see God in it. If we don't see God, we attempt to come around, rescue, and pull them out. And the very same person will come to resent us You see what he's saying? So the whole point of this, how do we see God? That's the issue. Is he at work? He's at work at us. He's in work with others. If we don't think he's working, well, it's just happenstance and stuff going on. And gosh, I can't believe this. It's like, no, I see God behind all this. And we keep moving on and calling out to him. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what we see here is that God is at work. So what we want to do is we want to point people to Jesus so they'll cry out to Jesus. Not depend on us. You know, I like the way Oswald Chambers said, he says, don't be an amateur God. Point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Now, and so here we wrap it up all with this. All right, we got blessed refining fire. Now, we won't walk away. No, God's moving. See, this is happening. And, you know, the one of the things, it's like, okay, you're saying this and this bad stuff's going to happen because I said it. No, afflictions happen because God's doing it. All this is information to help us understand the afflictions and walk through them. See, so we have, it's happening. We just have now the information that we can walk through them. Amen? And know God's there. Because it is happening. It's happening. You think, well, if I don't know this, it won't happen. No, it's still happening. It's still happening. Okay, so what we want to do is it teaches us to point to Christ alone. Now, so we can end up, wrap up with this. When we see God working, it says, for all those going through refining fires, we can know that God has one overriding purpose. One overriding purpose that he's teaching us. And here it is Romans 10:13. This is what he's teaching everybody going through the fire. Lost, if they don't know the Lord, and God would be put in the fire, the same thing. For the same thing. He's telling us one thing. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what does he want? He says, I want to see my reflection. I want to see my reflection. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And this is very individual. This is very individual. Every person, it's an individual thing. It's an individual thing, okay? Because God wants to see his reflection in every purpose. So he wants us to cooperate with what he is already doing. Amen? He's doing it. He just wants us to see that. Now you understand you can cooperate with me in what I am doing. And don't complain so much. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord and see the bigger picture, what he is working, you know, and whatever he's doing, but in our piece of it, he wants us just to reflect him. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, it simplifies things, doesn't it? A little hot, but it simplifies things. But the thing is, it's going to be hot anyway. At least we understand. All right? Well, we thank the Lord for his blessed refining fire. And by the way, if he loves you, you're going to get one. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you really, bottom line, you care for us. You care for us more than we can imagine. And you're not being mean to us. You're not hurting us. You're not doing any evil to us. You're coming around loving us and taking away those things that are keeping us away from you, taking away those things that are weighing us down where we can't follow you. You're teaching us things to have a pure, teaching us things so that we can have a pure heart and love others the way we, you would like us to love them the way you love them. And Lord, most of all, we thank you that, you know, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sins, and we are forgiven, and we're forgiven because of what he suffered. And we thank you for that. We have eternity for what he suffered. We have a relationship with him forever and ever because of what he suffered. And so we thank you for that, God. So we praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.